Hello and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor in the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. In this episode, we talk with Adam Grant of the Keenan Flagler Business School at the University of North Carolina about a paper he recently published looking at the effects of task significance on job performance. Adam Grant, welcome to Under New Management.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Adam, your paper talks about task significance. Can you explain that concept to us?
Sure. Task significance is a fancy word for having an opportunity to do work that has a positive impact on the well-being of other people. So if you think about jobs that are high in task significance, those would be jobs that make a difference, that help others, that do good, that make some kind of social contribution. So that might involve having a positive impact on the health and safety of others, making others happier, building relationships, educating people, and it could also end up having a positive impact on different groups of people. You could be helping coworkers, you could be helping supervisors, you could be benefiting customers or clients or patients.
Okay, so we might think of jobs like, you know, firemen might be a job that maybe has a lot of task significance, but then you're also saying that within any organization, people can be doing things that are helping other people within the organization that would represent a job with a lot of task significance?
Absolutely. Anytime employees are doing work that benefits other people in some way, we would say their jobs are high in task significance.
Okay. Well, how big is the lack of task significance in the workplace then?
I would say the largest problem lies in employees who do work that has high task significance, but they're disconnected from seeing the actual impact that their work has on others. So we might think of this as invisible task significance. You could imagine automotive engineers who do work that saves the lives of drivers and passengers, but never have a chance to meet these drivers and passengers and see how their work really makes a difference. You might also think about medical research scientists who produce cures and vaccines that take care of patients, but never have a chance to meet their patients. You could also think about authors and journalists who have no contact with the readers who actually benefit from the work they produce. If you think about these different kinds of jobs, they're all jobs that make a difference. But if you're an employee doing these jobs, it's very easy to lose sight of the actual impact that you're having because you don't get a chance to see how it is that your work is benefiting these people who are depending on your efforts.
Well, Adam, have you worked in jobs that you felt like lacked task significance?
I have. The first time I started thinking about this, actually, was between college and graduate school. I was working at a company called Let's Go Publications, which produces travel guides that travelers use to find their way around foreign countries. So you may have traveled with Let's Go, but you might also think of Lonely Planet or Fodors or Fromers or Rough Guides. Mm-hmm. These are all part of the same industry. And I was working managing a group of editors and researchers who were producing a great deal of copy to write an entire book in the span of 3 to 6 months, but never had an opportunity to meet the travelers who are actually benefiting from their work. And I noticed that initially people were highly motivated to do this job. They thought that they were going to serve as a Bible for travelers. They knew many travelers who valued these books and who used them around Europe or around Australia or Asia. But over time, they started to lose sight of this. As they were working to produce copy, they were working at their desks, they really got disconnected and distanced from the readers who were eventually going to benefit from their efforts. And it seemed to me that their motivation was really starting to trail off and dissipate over time.
So task significance seems to have some sort of effect on motivation. Can you tell us about what past research has discovered about the effects of task significance?
Sure. This research line was started by Richard Hackman and Greg Oldham about 30 years ago, and we know now pretty well that people in high task significance jobs tend to be more satisfied with their work, and they tend to experience their work as more meaningful. They also report being more motivated.
And so what did your study try to discover then?
Amazingly enough, researchers hadn't really examined before whether highlighting task significance to employees and helping them see that their work had an impact could actually motivate employees to perform more effectively and be more productive. So I wanted to know, does task significance actually increase job performance? If employees are aware of their task significance, are they going to be more effective and productive? And if so, why?
Well, those sound like some interesting questions, and you also had some interesting samples and procedures that you used. Can you talk about those a little bit?
So I conducted interventions in two different settings. One was a university call center, and these are fundraising callers who are contacting alumni of the university and trying to convince them to donate money to the school. And this is a difficult job by all accounts. The call center has 350% annual turnover. So to translate that, the entire staff quits every 2 months. And the training and staffing and hiring costs are pretty much through the roof. So this seemed to be a good setting in which to study motivation because, frankly, there wasn't a whole lot of it. And when you look at the job that the callers are doing, this isn't surprising. They use a standardized script. They get rejected between 90 and 99% of the calls they make. And they have to do incredibly monotonous work where they're making calls day in, day out, night after night. And oftentimes alumni aren't very appreciative of the work that they do. And so not only do they get rejected, but they often get hung up on. They're often yelled at for interrupting dinners and so on.
Sure.
So I wanted to enter this setting and see if I could help these fundraising callers see their task significance. It was clear to me that they were actually doing work that was very high in task significance because every dollar that they raised provided scholarships for students to attend the university. And so the more money that they could bring in through donations, the more student scholarships that the university could provide. But the callers never really had a chance to meet any of the scholarship students who benefited from their work. So I introduced a couple of different interventions where callers got to meet scholarship students directly and hear them tell their stories and talk about how the work had made a difference in their lives. In other cases, the callers got to read stories about how the work had made a difference for scholarship students. And so the scholarship students would talk about how the funds raised enabled them to attend school out of state, to afford university tuition, to be involved in meaningful extracurricular activities like tutoring children after school, and how it had given them time to explore their future career plans. And these were very touching and moving stories, and they seemed to help the callers see the task significance that was part of their jobs.
Okay, and your second sample was actually lifeguards, right?
Yes, it was. This was driven by my very first work experience. I worked as a lifeguard for 3 years, and I never dove in the pool to perform a single rescue. In fact, the only time I dove in the pool was when it was very hot during August and I wanted to cool off. And so I had come into this job wanting to make a difference, hoping to save the lives of swimmers and make sure that people were safe at pools. But instead, I was stuck doing a set of very monotonous and dull tasks that really challenged my own attention. And after I did some reading about lifeguards, I found out that this was not unique to my experience, but that most pool lifeguards never have a chance to perform a rescue. And in fact, if you do have to dive in and perform a rescue, you've probably already made a mistake because you should have prevented the situation from occurring that required you to dive in.
Right.
And so lifeguards everywhere are facing this problem of coming in to try to save lives and expecting this job to really make a difference and seeing it as very high in task significance. But finding out in reality that they end up doing these monotonous tasks where it's difficult to maintain attention. And so pool managers everywhere are struggling with different ways to keep lifeguards motivated and attentive. And as I started thinking about lifeguarding, it occurred to me that I couldn't exactly do with lifeguards what I had done for fundraising callers, mm-hmm. because most of these lifeguards have never performed a rescue. So who can we actually bring in to meet them? I thought instead maybe what we can do is take stories from the news media about other lifeguards making rescues and saving drowning swimmers. And if we can collect these stories and share them with lifeguards, perhaps they can help lifeguards see that their own work has the potential to make a difference one day. Even though I haven't performed a rescue so far, I know how important it is to be attentive as a lifeguard because I can see what an impact other lifeguards have had through these stories.
And what effects did these interventions have?
The effects actually were more powerful than I expected. In the fundraising setting, I had only introduced them to either one or two scholarship students in person or by letter. And it turned out that a full month later, the callers had more than doubled, in some cases even tripled and quadrupled, in the number of calls they were making per week, the amount of money they're raising, the number of pledges that they brought in. Every different way that you could think of measuring performance had spiked dramatically.
Wow.
And these callers really seemed to believe that their work was making a difference as a result of hearing from these scholarship recipients.
And the lifeguards?
And the lifeguards actually ended up volunteering to work more hours. They worked about 3 more hours per week. And these effects lasted for 6 months, even though they had just read 4 stories about how their jobs had made a difference. 6 months later, they're still working more hours. They were also rated as more helpful toward guests in the pool by their supervisors.
But you also found that the interventions had differential effects on different people, right?
I did. So after I got these results, I started wondering, does this work the same way for everyone? Are there some types of employees that might respond with greater performance than others? And I wanted to look at 2 dimensions of personality and values that seemed relevant here. One was conscientiousness. So as an employee, are you disciplined, dependable, reliable, goal-oriented, and organized? The other was pro-social values. So are you the kind of person who really cares about making a difference and helping others? And I found that these interventions, helping you see the task significance of your work, were actually more important for employees who were not conscientious. Conscientious employees were already dedicated and focused and goal-oriented, whereas the employees who were less conscientious seemed to need an external purpose and a larger reason to work harder in this job. As far as the pro-social values were concerned, the employees who said they really wanted to help others and make a difference were more responsive, and they actually displayed higher performance after reading the stories or meeting the scholarship recipients. And that was, of course, because these stories really helped to fulfill their values and enable them to see that their jobs really did make a difference, which is something they were hoping to accomplish.
Adam, can you tell us then how, or make some recommendations on how organizations might apply the findings from your study?
Certainly. I can think of at least three ways that organizations can use these findings. One is, of course, to introduce employees directly to the people who benefit from their work. So you could think about connecting automotive engineers to drivers. You could think about connecting medical research scientists to patients. You could think about connecting software developers to users. There are lots of different ways that employees who do work that ultimately benefits other people can be introduced directly to those people. A second option is to find and share stories about the impact of the work. This is common at a company like Volvo that actually has a club called the Volvo Save My Life Club, where they ask drivers and passengers to share stories about how they were able to survive car wrecks and crashes and accidents as a result of Volvo safety engineering. And then Volvo managers actually share these stories with Volvo engineers, and they claim that this, of course, helps to motivate them toward high performance, which is exactly what my research would suggest. Another thing that I would suggest is that managers can actually create forums for employees to share their own stories. I think it's easy to forget how one's work makes a difference,
right,
especially when we become absorbed in sort of the day-to-day routine of work. And I think the more that we can open up conversation for people to talk about why the work matters, why is it important, what purpose does it serve, who does it help, the more we can help to reinforce employees' beliefs that their work really does make a difference.
Adam, you gave one example from Volvo. Do you have any other examples of how organizations have applied task significance to increase employee motivation?
Sure. Let me give you two of my favorite examples. One comes from Microsoft, which originally had a problem motivating developers to fix bugs in the Windows software. Software developers would put together the initial software, and Microsoft would come back with feedback from users saying, people don't understand the basic features of this program, they're getting confused, they can't find the start button, and they really don't know how to operate it. And developers initially resisted this feedback and said, look, things are going just fine. And so Microsoft decided to do a survey. They surveyed a sample of users, and they came back with feedback saying 6 out of 10 users didn't really know how to navigate the software. And the typical response from developers was, where did you find 6 idiots? And so Microsoft wanted, of course, to motivate the developers to work harder and to see their task significance, to see that if they fixed bugs, if they made the program more user-friendly, that they would actually help users navigate their programs more effectively. So they built what they called a usability test lab, where they invited regular users into a lab to navigate the Windows software. And they gave developers the chance to watch these people through a one-way mirror. And all of a sudden, through having direct contact with the users, the developers started to identify with them. They could see that they were ordinary, intelligent people. They could see that if they fixed some of these bugs and made the software more user-friendly, that the program would be much easier to use as a result. And Microsoft managers claimed that having seen this task significance through directly meeting their users, developers worked a lot harder to fix the bugs and improve the program. Another example comes from the medical technology company Medtronic, which employs engineers that develop all sorts of medical products that often save the lives of patients. Medtronic realized a while ago, this was primarily spearheaded by the former CEO, Bill George, that many of the engineers were losing sight of how their work was having an impact. And Bill actually started an initiative where he brought engineers into the hospital so that they could see how their technologies were being used to help patients. He started another initiative where he had an annual party where he would invite some patients to come in and tell their stories and talk about how Medtronic had saved their lives. And when you find, for example, a patient who was formerly paralyzed coming in and doing cartwheels across the stage as a result of the work that you've done, it's hard not to be inspired and motivated by the task significance that you can now see.
Well, Adam, what would you say is the bottom line then for managers?
I think the bottom line for managers is that we often tend to assume that employees are self-interested, and we try to give them jobs that will benefit themselves. We try to maximize your pay. We try to make the work interesting. We give you chances to be promoted. We give you chances to learn and develop. But I think it's equally important to highlight how the job is going to benefit others. I believe that most employees want to make a difference. They care about helping others in some particular way. They're attached to a particular cause or a particular group of people. And so it's particularly important to make sure that employees can really see how their work does make a difference.
We've been talking with Adam Grant of the Kenan Flagler Business School at the University of North Carolina. Adam, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.